Thank you, Steve. Hola, everybody. Hola. Oh, man, this is such a pleasure being here. So we gotta invoke our spiritus with the first poem. Yes. Or what I would consider spiritus of the city. Yes. Like this. I got the Galleria de la Raza Blues. I said I got the Galleria de la Raza Blues, man. I used to remember me mama taking me to old black and white India Maria movies and 70s cop flicks dubbed in Espanol at the Mission Theater. I can remember when Valencia Street was nothing but long stretches of appliance stores, leather tongue video in the Chameleon Bar. I can remember using the payphone on the outside of La Rondalla, the last payphone in La Misión that would take callbacks, man. Hitting pound 911, and waiting for that dealer to round the corner in his van. I can remember when El Día de los Muertos procession was not a DJ block party. Complete with margarita tube drinks and techies still wearing their Halloween costumes because they think this is a Mexican Halloween. I got the Galleria de la Raza Blues. I can remember being handed Xerox poems by Swan the Pigeon Man in the afternoons in the old Dolores Park. I can remember Jack Michelin's painted room in the back of Abandoned Planet Books, man. I can remember Café Macondo, Café Babar, man. I can remember the music coming out of Balasso Gallery. I can remember somebody finding a pink prom dress in the doorway esta noche, the morning after, man. I got the Galleria de la Raza Blues. I can remember them young muchachos from Nicaragua posting up hella early on the corner 24th and Folsom, dope balloons in their mouths as they work off an American debt. I can remember being told that Oscar Zeta Acosta, the brown buffalo man, lived and worked in an SRO hotel on Valencia Street, right where there's another pinche pour over coffee spot. I can remember the red man, always dressed in red, and I don't just mean his clothes, man. This cat had his skin red, his mustache red, his eyebrows red, everything red, and he wandered La Misión mumbling things that came out red. I can remember the donut shop on 20th and Mission with the donuts in the front, stolen shit in the back, and a sign in the window that said, open 25 hours a day. I got the Galleria de la Raza Blues, man. And I can remember George Tirado's 500-pound shadow. I can remember Francisco Alacron's tiny bifocals. I can remember that Nancy Morejon has walked these streets, that Sonia Sanchez has walked these streets, that Avacha keeps wandering these streets. I can remember Alfonso Textador's limp. I got the Galleria de la Raza Blues.
It's not nostalgia, y'all. See, what that is the one of the roles of us black and brown poets is preserving our history, because no one's going to remember these beautiful people. And when you show up, people come to San Pancho nowadays and they want to know where it all went, you know, and you got to remember these folks for what they did. So that those are the spirits that are around here still, you know, and if you get real lucky, maybe one of them will creep on you one night, you know, so. Changing gears a little bit. Since we are poets of memory, it's important to remember the details. Here's a detail for you. Did you know that those Donaldo Trump piñatas are here working in the country illegally? You don't believe me? Or you think I'm lying? Check. Okay, this is how badass El Tecolote newspaper is, right? El Tecolote newspaper, you all know that. The community newspaper in the mission has been around forever. Every mission poet's written for, man. They got the legacy and they still can't spell shit. But you know, they're beautiful. Tongo's written for them, essays, and they're amazing, man. But they were the only ones that covered this, man. The New York Times wouldn't touch it. The LA Press wouldn't get near it. So in November 8th of 2018, that November after the elections, the Tecolote did a news piece. And apparently, after the elections happened, all of the Donaldo Trump piñatas coming in from Mexico were being stopped at the border. They were not being let into the United States. Coincidence? I don't know. So you know what the hermanos did? You know, the guys bringing in their because these guys, man, as reprehensible as their cargo is, they got to eat, right? So what these vatos started doing, bringing in the piñatas, they started putting little fake bigotes and beards on the piñata, little fake mustaches and beards. And when they get to the checkpoint, in the little invoice form, they would fill out, not Donald Trump piñata, they would put Southern Preacher piñata. And they got right in. Apparently, in some cases, they even did him up in a little man bun, you know, with a bigote and beard. But to this, I will add, pinche piñata. I'm gonna admit it, you pinche piñata. I take a great amount of pleasure in knowing that you, Donaldo, are being stopped at the border and some customs official's gonna have his probing hand all up in your candy hole. And the idea that you pinche piñata, must wear a disguise to enter this brown country because of the symbol of what you are, because of your orange name brand, is something else I will admit gives me a huge amount of pleasure. I'm being told that you gotta cross la frontera wearing a fake blonde beard and mustache, which seems to be fooling the piñata policía into thinking you were in fact nothing more than a simple Southern preacher returning home after visiting the land of the brown heathen Mexica. Oh, you pinche piñata. I'm so sick of walking around and seeing you dangling there. I walk down the Fruitvale and there you are in front of the Mercados, man. I go into Casa Lucas and you're dangling from the pinche rafters. I was at my tia's house last week for a quinceañera and there you fucking were, dangling from the tree. You pinche piñata. Stealing all the piñata jobs from the Dora the Explorer piñatas and the Power Ranger piñatas that came here legally through China. Sucking up all the piñata resources, you pinche piñata. How long is it going to be until one of these pinche Donaldo piñatas actually starts to feel bold enough to speak? Híjole, can you imagine that?
The Trumpanzees, man, they'd lose their pinche minds. They'd take that piñata and they'd dangle it in some Arizona strip mall parking lot and build like an altar around it. And every morning, hordes of monolingual, misogynistic, MAGA-wearing crowds would gather and wait for that piñata to speak to them. Or maybe piñata tweet to them, I don't know. But when I see you dangling there, Donaldo, I want to hit you. Yes, I want to hit you, Donaldo. I don't care if I'm reinforcing the image of the Latino being violent and dangerous. I don't care. I want to hit you, Donaldo. And I don't want to wait in line with the little kids, you know. I'm going to just cut right in front of him and take the stick. And I don't want to wear a blindfold over mis ojos or mi boca when I hit you, Donaldo. I want to see when I hit you in the knees and hear the cardboard crunch. I want to hit you in the elbows and hear that cardboard crunch. Donaldo, I want to hit you in the panza and hear that candy slosh around in there. I want to hit you over and over and over again in the head and watch that orange papel fly off you like droplets of tainted blood, Donaldo. And you know what? The niños that I cut in front of, they're starting to scream and gibber in tongues, man. And all around me, whatever room I'm in at the East Oakland Warehouse party where you're swinging, or over at Lake Merritt where they're barbecuing while black and you're swinging, or over there at the quinceañera where you're swinging, everybody's yelling, dale en la mera madre, mijo. And suddenly that stick, man, that I'm holding bursts into flames like Huitzilopochtli's flaming sword, and it tears a burning gash right down your side, you pinche piñata, where your insides drop out and hit the ground stinking of themselves. And you know something, man? It is the complete opposite of every piñata exploding scene that you have ever seen. It's complete silence. Not one niño has jumped into that pile. They're all just standing around, little mouths open in horror. Because what they're looking at are the insides of America, you see. And there's no dulces there for them. There's not even a pinche apple. There's no $20 bill rubber banded in there by my drunk tío Tony. There's nothing there for them. Finally, one of the little niñas in the corner starts to cry. And when we look over at her, we see she's pointing up at the sky. We go, mija, what are you looking at? And we look up and there's that Donaldo head, man, dangling off that wire, severed from the body, and the head's twisting in the wind, where we can see the papel blue eyes are looking off into the estancia, and we know that that thing can see that another truckload of those piñatas just made it across the border, and they're heading towards California right now. Pinche piñatas, man.
If you think I'm lying, it's Tecolote, November 8th, 2018 issue. Check it out.
It was a thing, man.
The devil's in the details. The devil's in the details. Yeah. So this is a... This is an honor, reading with James. I said that a bunch of times, constantly, but there isn't a voice like James's. This is a poet, when you hear, you know who it is, you know, so it's a big deal, and the book is, man,
the first time, man. I'm nostalgic now. I turned 50 last week. I could be nostalgic, but the first time I saw James, man, it was like
it was an event that Tongo had put together, and I had never seen any of these poets until that night, and it was Thea Matthews, it was Joyce Lee, it was Aaron Hurd, and it was James, and every single poet, and then Tongo, of course, read. So, you know, after every one of those poets, my heart and head exploded, and then James came out, and it was, I didn't know there was more parts of me left to explode, but man, it was nothing like it. Yeah, it was a serious baptism. Where was that? That was the warehouse somewhere? It was like in Oakland. That's it. Yeah, man. Man, I couldn't. It was devastating. Devastating. Okay. So this is this poem's going out to all those Latinx test tube babies and Chicano dinosaurs out there. You know who you are. Somos starlight that was forgotten in the glove box of Huitzilopochtli's El Camino cuando he sold it to Tezcatlipoca. Somos nopal espinas from our tata abuelo's pesadillas. Somos scared childhood momentos that are tattooed on El Cucuy's left arm. Somos huesos of the jaguar and el cielo is gnawing on right now. Somos lint from the pocket of a black member's only jacket worn by a blue-eyed god on the day of his crucifixion that we had nothing to do with. Somos a conejo-shaped wound that got stuck in Cuyushuaqui's left eye that you can see quite clearly when the moon is full. Somos the torn out páginas of a history book that no one believes in. Somos the idea that the electric axolotl is no longer interested in pondering. Somos the espíritus of stupo ofrendas from the old neighborhood. Somos the smell of burnt tortillas. Somos frijoles that have been soaking in a bowl of water since the beginning of this quinto sol. Somos the broken taillights of the dot-com conquistador's car as he drives over shell mounds on his way to this century's chingadera. Somos the first drops of divine sangre that Huitzilopochtli shed in defense of his mama. Somos the taste of nopal syrup and amaranth cakes. Somos everything that the colonizers were and are afraid of. Somos a frontera folktale about the time El Diablo came to the pachanga dressed in the skin of a handsome blue-eyed white man with the feet of a chicken. Somos huesos lost out on la frontera. Somos children in American cages. Somos the black and red scribbles inside of Viejito's dream that Xochipilli is watching on a Sunday like a sitcom rerun. Somos the pedazos of the smashed broken idols of our gods at Tenochtitlan. Somos the white cowboy hat on a Tigres del Norte album cover. Somos the smell of death quietly emanating off the papayas in front of one of the mercados around 16th Street. Somos a 500-year-old joyride in a demigod stolen ranfla with the bones of the 1,000 conquistadors who were killed on La Noche Triste in the trunk. Somos ancestors who are children. Somos the severed parts of our own goddesses. Somos gods who leave their own body parts behind to create time. Somos the wrinkles of our abuelitas. Somos the flayed skin of Xepitoltec. Somos Spanish surnames and the last known address of Doña Malitzin. Somos words that Americanos can't pronounce. Illegals, Hispanics, dreamers. Somos wooden prayers set under serpent skirt night skies. Somos our own mispronunciations. Somos our own bullet holes. Somos our own milagros.
It's almost the last box of brown Ben Davis pants buried in the Terremoto ruins after the big one finally hit San Pancho. Somos mariposas de humo that disappear as they flutter over the border. Somos constellations that you can only see if you hold up the sky to a smoking mirror. Somos naranjadas cempasúchilis, watered with agua that comes from ni de aquí, ni de allá. Así somos.
Yeah. There was a, what was I said earlier, right? The devil's in the details. There's a, one of the news stories that kind of caught my head at the end of 2018. I know so much shit happens to us, we can't remember, but there was a Latina newscaster named Claudia Tristan at the end of 2018 that was reporting on a traffic jam in El Paso. And a Latina sister went ahead and pronounced El Paso the way you're supposed to, or rather said the way Latinos pronounce it, which is the correct way. And man, she got shit for it. Like, not, I don't mean a little bit of shit either, like a lot of shit. Like people were just, well, why is she talking like that? Who does she think, you know? And devil's in the details. So I wrote this for her, yeah. This is for Claudia Tristan,
better known as the Latina newscaster who pronounced it El Paso instead of El Paso. Cuando the Latina newscaster was reporting on a traffic jam in Texas last week, went ahead and pronounced the name of the town where the traffic jam was occurring exactly the way you would expect the Latina to pronounce it. Well, there was maybe a 5-second delay at the most before people began to lose their pinche social media hive mind. El Paso. There was genuine anger. There was genuine outrage that she was pronounced those words in such a way, man. I'm not kidding. Doors were locked. Guns were cocked. The border was rechecked. And that old phrase, remember the Alamo, started getting repeated around Texas again. While claims like the following were made. El Paso. That Latina newscaster is using an unauthorized accent. She's mispronouncing the name of the city in order to undermine the church. It's obvious. She's mispronouncing the city in order to confuse the ghosts of any Texas Rangers that may still be wandering out there. She's pronouncing it that way in order to sexually entice the youth. El Paso. There were also claims that her pronunciation got a lot of the old folks around here lost for a good while. It may have caused some people's pets to run away. It may have led to some of the white children around here saying gracias to the ice cream man and thank you to the paleta man by mistake. Some folks were saying that her pronunciation was actually an encrypted message that somehow helped them hordes of invading immigrants successfully navigate the border. El Paso. The Latina newscaster's pronunciation was said to be exaggerated, disrespectful. It was the wrong time in America to be pronouncing words like that. Some people believe that her pronunciation caused a strange rain to fall on the town for days and days. Some people actually said, and I quote, doesn't she know that those are American words that she's pronouncing? El Paso. It was further claimed that when she pronounced the name of the town that way, the prices of avocados skyrocketed. Chihuahuas attacked their owners. People danced in lewd and less vicious ways, and then pictures of them blue-eyed Jesuses would not hang straight. El Paso. Council of Catholic and Concerned Citizens was formed in the part of the town where it's still pronounced El Paso. And the brilliant idea was brought up that the white people around here need to further mispronounce the words that they have already been mispronouncing for years in an effort to somehow balance out Claudia Tristan's pronunciation, the damage it may further cause to American culture. And the monolingual discussion continues like that to this day over in El Paso. While over here on este lado, Claudia Tristan, the Latina newscaster, continues to newscast in Latina. She continues to hold on to her pronunciations with both her brown hands and her bilingual voice. She continues to look straight into the camera when she says it. And all of us over here, we understand her perfectly. El Paso.
Yes. Yes. Claudia.
Claudia's still grinding, man. She didn't get no Netflix special or anything. She's still doing her thing, shit.
Yeah.
So I'll do one more and then, I didn't even check time, I'm sorry. Am I good? Okay, thanks, Steve. This is, I wasn't gonna do this one, but what the hell. You know, this is before I was making millions of dollars as a poet, I owned a taco shop for 21 years, and in the whitest part of the Bay Area, Marin County. And I don't say that being flippant or anything. I was there for 21 years. I could say that it was the whitest part of the Marin County. It was beautiful because my ma, it was her. Her store's still around, but you know, growing up, I was in the kitchen, right? So when it came my turn to do my thing, my mom taught me something, so that's what I did. But they didn't have no Pocho or Chicano therapists there. It was just me, and it's in the town of Fairfax, and it's good people there still, you know. But people ask you funny questions sometimes when you're the brown guy that's feeding them food, you know. So I would get into some interesting conversations, and I would never dump anything on their heads or anything, because then you get a bad Yelp review. But there were moments about licking the sugar skulls or wanting to know what part of Mexico Antonio Banderas was from, or just weird things. And what I would end up doing is there was a piece of plywood on the front of the shop for some reason. And I would have an encounter with somebody and I would go outside and write what I thought was sort of the piece of the encounter from it, you know. And I was there for 21 years, and then at the end I had this poem on the plywood. So yeah, it's that whole thing, that symbol, you know, when people want you to be a symbol, and sometimes you are and sometimes you're not, but oh man, yeah. On this side of the border, under this quinto sol during these modern times, I want to be a symbol for my culture. I want to wrap myself up in a colorful poncho, tilt an oversized sombrero over my eyes, lean up against the nearest prong cactus I see, and I want to take an afternoon cultural siesta the fuck away from all you people. I want to be a symbol for my culture. I want to round up all the talking chihuahuas out there in TV land, take them back to my place and feed them helping after helping of Taco Bell. I want to take care of your kids and secretly teach them Spanglish swear words. I want to give away the ending to all the telenovelas.
I want to be a symbol for my culture. I want to wear me Nacho Libre wrestling mask, Zapatista ski cap, and Che Guevara t-shirt all at the same time. I want to continue to appear in sitcoms as the Latino whose thing is to always walk away mumbling Spanish gibberish to the delight of the all-white laugh track. I want to start the Frida Kahlo unibrow trend over there in Marin County. So that all them San Anselmo yoga moms going into their green beauty salons for their weekly Brazilian bikini wax will instead come out with their eyebrows patched. I want to be a symbol for my culture. And at this point, I'd like to personally thank Al Pacino's Puerto Rican and Cuban accents for all they have done for us. I want to finally see the remake of Home Alone starring Ilian Gonzalez shot entirely on location in Cuba. I want to continue to flatten down our hand-me-down language so that it's easier for everyone else around here to pronounce places like Corte Madera, Tiburon, Point Reyes, El Cerrito del Norte. I want to put a stop to the rumors that in the 90s, narcotraficantes were smuggling dope into America inside of J-Lo's ass right under our noses. I want to be a symbol for my culture. I want to be the Mexicano who breaks open the Donaldo Trump piñata just to prove his point about Mexicanos being violent and dangerous. I want to be the sugar skull with Alex Nieto's name on it. I want to be the sugar skull with Claudia Patricia Gomez Gonzalez's name on it. I want to ask La Llorona why America doesn't put her niños and niñas faces on the sides of milk cartons or have you seen me billboards. I want to be a symbol for my culture. I want to teach white people how to use a leaf blower in Spanish. I want to be a dollar bill on El Tigres del Norte CD cover. I want to be the coyote that people hire to take them back to their childhood. I want you to confuse me with Carlos Santana one more time. I want to be a symbol for my culture. And honestly, as a matter of fact, I do want to steal your job. I am saying something about you when I'm speaking Spanish. I do want to use up all your medical benefits and impregnate your daughters. Let's be honest, you're in America. Who wouldn't? I want to be the dishwasher that finds the bones of the Ayotzinapa teachers in the one place that nobody thought to look. I want to sneak out in the middle of the night and move the border 2 feet to the left. I want to dip the English language in champurrado when I chew it. I want to continue to wait for Quetzalcoatl to arrive because he said he'd be right back. He was just coming to the corner for smokes. I want to continue to ask Tezcatlipoca to help me remember. I want to continue to call them dreamers, even though they did not dream up any of this. I want to be a symbol for my culture. I want to keep cradling the immigrantes American dream like it's a fussy, sleeping baby. ¿Sabes qué? I want to be that Yucateco rolling sushi. I want to be that Sureño making pizza. I want to be that niña from Guatemala who did manage to make it all the way here without being shot in the head. I want to be that viejito with a 10-gallon vaquero hat that you see every week at the farmer's market. I want to be that niña who was born here but whose mama and papa were not. I want to be that 19-year-old Chilanga nanny with the 2-toe-headed babies in tow looking in the windows of those Mill Valley boutiques that she's never going to go into. I want to be that Mexicano with a red smocking cap, man, looking like a watered-down disciple of Huitzilopochtli as he washes cars at that gas station on 2nd Street. You know what? I want to be that Chicano who opened up a taco shop in Fairfax and named all the burritos after famous Mexicanos. I want to be a symbol for my culture. Dude.
Thank you.
My mom's place is still there, and so that she took that poem with her, so it's in the window of her restaurant. It's nice. Thank you all so much for listening to me. Seriously, thank you, Steve, for inviting me, and thank you, James. Oh, man. It's an honor.